Good morning, everyone.
Gimel Menachem Av, Wednesday the 26th of July, Rabbi Yaakov Horovitz, our Nevi'im on supporting the week. It's all yours.
Am I just starting? Mm-hmm. Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. I would encourage you, if you have, maybe pick up a Chemisha Chumshe Torah. I'm going to refer to a few things inside. So if you'd like to, just get a Chemisha Chumshe Torah, and I'll work you through what we're talking about. I mean, the general idea is I really would like to talk about the theme of what our Nevi'im speak about, Yishayo and Yirmiyo, in the Haftaris of these few parashiyos, of the parashas of the 3 weeks, and especially Chazon Yishayahu, the Haftarah of that we'll be reading the Shabbos Chazon at this week. So I'm going to point out a few thoughts about some psukim or sets of psukim that might need some understanding, and perhaps I'd like to offer an interesting way of thinking about them. The first, the overall question is, the overarching question here is, why is it that our Nevi'im keep mentioning karbanos, sacrifices that were at the Beis HaMikdash, in a negative light? Lomali Rois of Chechem in this week's Haftarah. Again, if you look it up in this Chumash, it's the Haftarah of Parshas of Sefer Devarim of Chazon Yishayo. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm looking for the plague. You have him here. So it's on page 501, right? So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shimon Odvar Hashem Kitzinei Sedoim. Listen, you guys from Sodom and Amora, you chaps, folks, what do you say around here? We say guys.
Guys will do.
Guys will do? Okay. So, first of all, what's that with Sodom and Amora? How did Sodom and Amora get in here? And then he starts, what do I need your karbanos for? I'm tired of your karbanos. When you bring them, it's an irritant. What's the message? Elamai, what should you do instead? Dirshu mishpat, pursue justice, support a widow and an orphan. And we see that this theme of karbanos keeps coming up. If you're interested in looking at the Haftarah of Parashas Tzav, it's an extremely harsh language. Go. The Navi says, go pile up a bunch of meat and eat it. Who needs? I never asked you to bring karbanos. What's up with karbanos? It's almost like it's a sore subject that we keep referring to whenever there is a matzav, a situation where there's din and rebuke. Karbanos seems to be front and center. What was so special about karbanos, and what were Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu trying to convey to us? So I'd like to start with an interesting exchange back in Chumash. Have a look, please. That the context is when Avraham is davening for the people of Sodom and Amora. It's on page 46, if you have the Chumash, I do. It's in Parshas Vayera, Perik Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin. I had a very hard time. I never really understood these psukim. I'll leave it up to you, okay? So the pasuk Tezvav starts that the people left Sedar. They left Avram Avinu. Avram walked them out, and Avram was standing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. VeHashem Amar. I'm just reading the text now. Again, it's pasuk Perik, Bereishis Perik Yud Ches pasuk Yud Zayin. VaHashem Amar, Hamachasani Mavram Asher Ani Oisa. Am I not going to tell Avram what's going to happen to Sodom and Amora? And Rashi offers a few different interpretations. First step is, why do I have to tell Avram? So either I just promised them all of Eretz Yisrael, now I'm going to destroy part of it, so I got to let him know. It's his, he's getting the title. Or he says, I just told him, you're Av HaMoyn Goyim, you're the father of the world. Now I got to tell him what's going on. These next two psukim So listen, Avram hoya yil gogodel va'atzum. Avram's going to be a great nation. V'nivruchu baikol gaihar. It's all I'm going to bless him. He will bless them. Ki yadativ, I love him. Therefore, l'mana sheyitzave esbonav esbeisay achrav. I want him to tell his children and his children's children. V'shamru derech Hashem las hisstaka mishpat. They'll watch the way of Hashem to do staka and mishpat. L'man havi Hashem al Avram asher adibro. In order that I should bring all the brachas. And then he goes back. Vayomer Hashem zakastan v'amayra. Who is the Rishonim all? Look, I encourage you if you have a little time over Shabbos, perhaps, if you're fortunate enough today. Look at what the Rishonim say. Who's Avram talking to? I'm sorry. Who's Hashem talking to? Excuse me. Come to think of it, somebody was kind enough to make me a coffee. I think I need it. I left it over there. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking care of it. Thank you. So, Vahashem Amar, who is Hashem speaking to exactly? Thank you. It looks kaviyachal as if Hashem is speaking to the Malachi Hashara, to the people. Who is he talking to? Rashi talks about it. In fact, if you look in Pasuk Chav, it says afterwards, Vashem Vayomer Hashem, Rashi says, El Avram. It's a, okay, this is a regular conversation now. So what's all this? I love him and I'm gonna tell him to tell his children and his children's children to do tzedaka or mishpat so I can bring. What does this have to do with Sodom? So there are interpretations offered by Al Chazal. I'd like to share a thought, and I think it really relates to what I'd like to say about. So permit me to offer my own thought humbly. I'd like to suggest like this. Every movement that starts with a great idea. Okay? Communism started out as the most beautiful idea. What was the backstory? In Russia, in Ukraine, those areas, there was a pirate, you know, there was a squire, he owned the whole city, and everybody was the servants, basically. And there was one boss and a lot of poor people. And they came along and said, hey, it's not right, why shouldn't we share? So they overthrew the government and they came up with this beautiful idea that everybody's going to be. A short time later, a generation or two later, everybody's in one big gulag. How does this happen? And you see this cycle in so many different areas. And I'm not familiar with the culture of this country. In America, we have, you know, a thing called labor unions. Right, a labor union was where a bunch of workers got together. Somebody organizes them and helps them.
Same trouble here.
Right. So it started out as a noble thing. People were making workers, you know, work insane hours and kick back wages to them and didn't give them benefits. So they said, you know, let's organize. A beautiful idea. And there are labor unions that do beautiful work, but a lot of them, you know, the boss takes stuff going on. It's not what it originally started at. So I would like to suggest as follows. This is the cycle of the world. I also think it really explains this Golus and Geula, the Jewish people, our exile and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that we mourn and the rebuilding in other places. I think that I'd like to suggest that it's part of the same cycle, that Golus isn't necessarily a punishment, but rather a reset button. So what happens is the idealist starts the organization, or the movement, and he or she is great. They're passionate, they're committed. Let's take communism, for example. They really believe in this. Everybody has to share, and if somebody doesn't work, the people never... The religious people in Russia, in the yeshivas in Russia that we're learning, were tormented because you're not working. Everybody's pulling the wagon. If you're not working, that's apikursus, right? It's against our whole philosophy. So the idealist starts it, and his or her passion carries the movement for a while. And then slowly, nepotism starts to set in. The boss puts his son-in-law, who might not be qualified, in there. They start doing some stuff, and you know, there's some money coming in, there's power, all of these things corrupt. And two generations later, they're putting millions of people in Siberia. This cycle, that's the cycle. I would like to suggest as follows. What happened with Sodom? In Sodom, they had this horrible rule that nobody was allowed to have guests. Having a guest in Sodom was against the rules. How could a community make such a horrible rule? It's hard for me to believe that people got together and said, nobody's allowed to feed a stranger here. You know what I think? I wasn't there. So, you're certainly free to disagree. I'll tell you what I think happened. What may have happened. I think the people in Sodom, two generations before this, made an achsanya, made a nice hotel for everybody to stay in. They said, why should people come? Let's chip in. Let's make a communal organization and we'll feed the people. Too many people started coming. You know, the people didn't like the whole idea. There were so many guests here, somebody decided to close it down, but the rules stayed. May not have happened that way, but it's more likely, I believe, that it was an evolution of something that happened. But be that as it may, they had these really horrible rules there. If you have your chumash, let's go back to the pasuk, and then I hope it will shed light on Yud Zayin and Yud Ches, and that we talked about before, those two psukim, and I hope it will really explain what Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu are talking about. So let's read the next two psukim. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes speaking to whomever, Kavyachot himself, or to the Malachim, or to Hashem speaks to Avram. Vayomer Hashem, Rashi says to Avram, Zaka Sodom v'Amori ki Rabba, the cries of Sodom and Amori of these cities are many. V'chatasam ki kov d'ma'oi, their sins are very heavy, are great. Erdena v'era, Hashem says, Kavyachot, the first person, I'm going to go and take a look. Haketza akosu haba'oilai, what's these cries that I hear? I'm going to destroy them. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Hakitza Akasa with the Mabike, it's in the feminine, her cries. So Rashi says Shal Medina. Short Rashi. It's in the feminine because we say the British Navy, her army, her navy, right? We speak about countries in the feminine. So therefore, he said Hakitza Akasa, I hear the cries of the city. What does the Medrash say?
Riva
Achas. So the Medrash, we know, generally speaking, it's like, it's an interpretation. It was not Haketza Akasa, the cries of the country, but rather there was one girl who did take a guest and they tortured her to death. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at that point, it's over. That seems to have been, from the Psukim, this... Let's step back again. So Sodom got destroyed because there was corruption. And the corruption was that the powers that be didn't want little folks, poor people coming and messing up the neighborhood, messing up the zoning. And they punished them. Hashem's about to destroy them. So if you accept this notion about the cycle, Sodom is at the end, at the last 2 minutes to 12, right? They're totally corrupt. Hashem is destroying them. Now Hashem says, I need Avram to know about this. Where's Avram in this? Again, if you accept this notion of a cycle, who's Avram in this? He's the idealist. Avram is at a minute after 12, right? Avram's starting out. He's starting out. He's the idealist. So Hashem says, I want to tell Avram what's going on, but I'm not worried about Avram. He's fine. I'm not worried that Avram is gonna mess things up and go off the beaten path. Avram's the idealist. He's the Av HaMoen Goyim. He's starting this movement to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to tell Avram that he should tell this to his children. I'm worried about Avram's grandchildren. Look back at the Psukim. And I'd like to suggest how perfectly it fits in. Va'avram, look back to the Psukim. Hashem is Amar, again, Pasuk Yudzayin. Hamachasim Avram Hashem. How can I cover from Avram what I'm about to say? Avram, Hoyayil, God of the Atzim. Avram's also going to become a great nation and be powerful. And everybody's going to bless him. But I love him. Look at the words. Laman Asher Yitzave Esbonav Ve'esbeisoy Acharav. I want Avram to tell his children and his children's children what happens when corruption settles in. What happens when weak people are stepped on. L'man havi Hashem al Avram, Asha dibra alav. That's what I would like to suggest. That Hashem was telling Avram, put this in the DNA of your people. Tell this to your children and your children's children to make sure that the values of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and commitment to the mitzvahs, that has to stay always. Now, if you look also at another thing, v'shamru derech Hashem, lasos tzedakah u'mishpat. If you read the words of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, that's something that comes up always. When they use the words tzedakah and mishpat, it refers to what? Teaching, treating people well. Okay? Tziyan b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. Okay, and it says again, if you look in today's in the Haftarah, what is when he tells them afterwards, you know, you don't be like Sodom, you listen up, you guys from Sodom and Amorah. What does he say? Limdu heitev pasuk yud zayin in this week's Haftarah. Rachatzu hizachu pasuk hazeh, wash yourselves, cleanse yourself from the sin. Limdu heitev dirshu mishpat shiftu yasam yivu almanu. Seek justice. Take care of a widow and an orphan. I would like to suggest that that's how Sodom and Amorah comes into this week's Haftarah. Because Sodom and Amorah were an example of what? I'm sorry? Of the opposite. Sodom and Amorah were the opposite of taking care of weak people. So if you, it's almost as if you hear Yeshayahu screaming, guys, don't you get it? Blokes, whatever. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? I don't need you, Karbanos. Take care of this. If you're treating people poorly, if you're treating people that don't have a voice poorly, so what do I need you, Karbanos, for? Let me offer another thought in addition to this. Also, what does Karbanos have to do with it? So simply you would say Karbanos were an example of religious practice. Of a mitzvah, a beautiful mitzvah. I always say that a carbon in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when people's wealth was measured by head of cattle, right? A dowry was four cows. You know, that was the currency. The currency was animals. So a carbon was taking a car off your driveway. That's really what it was. I got a whole collection of I have six cars at home, automobiles. And I take one, or I take it one and I give it, I donate it to the shul. That's a beautiful thing. Who brought karbanos? Rich people. The people who are most likely or could be chas v'shalom susceptible to mistreat people who don't have power. So that's why I would like to suggest that karbanos come in. The people of the time were obviously weak in this area of tzedakah u'mishpat. So Yeshayahu is telling him, what are you bringing your karbanos for? It's beautiful, it's nice, but who needs it? This is not what I took you out of Mitzrayim for. This isn't what I called on you to become a great people. So I think that fits in. That's why, if you accept the notion that the corruption and the sin was people in the seats of power abusing people who don't have power, then it's perfectly logical why Rashi, the Medrash, comes along and says, Haketza'akosa. So the Rashi says the regular pshat is Shalmedina. Hashem was hurt, or was upset, by the cries of the city. The cries emanating from the city. The Medrash says, it's much more specific than that. Haketza'akas riva achas, the cries of a little girl that was crying that she was hurt by these bosses of this town that didn't like the fact that she was independent-minded and took care of a weak person and gave them food. And I think that's really what Golus forces us to reset. It's a beautiful, in the interest of time, I would encourage you, if you want to have a look at the Das HaKenim Ba'alei Tosfos on the Mabul. We know Hashem punishes Mida K'neged Mida. What does the Mabul have to do with, what does that have to do with, the flood have to do with sin? So the Das HaKenim Ba'alei Tosfos, it's a long piece, he gives a mashal there. He says that basically it was a reset of the world. The world originally started with Tohu Vavohu. There was water. And Hashem carved out a space and made land on the water. Hashem said, you know, this isn't working out. You guys are getting corrupt. Let's start all over, like an Etch-a-Sketch. You know those toys that you write on the kids and you pull it up and you start again? That Golus was a reset. Hashem said, let's go back to where it was before. We have to start again. And I think that's really the Midah Keneged Midah of our bitter Golus throughout the years, where we had so many times where we were uprooted. I would say that among other things, it's a challenge for us to think about it in those terms. I do a lot of work with in child abuse prevention, child safety. We wrote published a few books to help parents speak to children about it. And over the years, I've had the skus to advocate for abuse victims and stand with them. As they, especially one in particular, a very high-profile case in Brooklyn, where I stood with the victim when she went to testify against a very powerful, well-connected person. One of the, not always, but very often, the abuser is a powerful person who's well-connected. People who know people come from the right families, and there's a grooming process where they select bedafka children who come from families that aren't that well set up, that there might be stress. If you're interested, I really would encourage you. I have a free, it's a 9-minute video about how to speak to your children. Have a look. If you do just do a Google search, Yaakov Horowitz, child safety, it's 9 minutes. That's all it is. It really help you understand how to speak to your children about, tell your children to speak, those who are grandparents. It's easy. It's very, child safety education is extremely helpful. What it really does is it teaches children to let the abuser know that they were spoken to about child safety. Abusers are afraid of children who are in close families where parents speak to their children regularly, and they're afraid of children who are educated, who know that they have a right to personal space. That's why child safety education is so helpful. But that's the pattern. The pattern is that strong people abuse weak people. People who are connected, again, not always, but almost always. And I believe that the Torah's obligation, when the Torah speaks to us, these have Torahs about standing with the weak and doing the opposite of what was done in Sodom. I think there's no better example of it than an abuse victim. Because they're the Riva Achas, they're the little girl or the little boy who was abused by an uncle or somebody else in the neighborhood or someone in the school. Most abusers are from the close, you know, that inner circle of people who know the child well. And I really believe that the Torah mandates that we stand with the victims, that we stand with them. If you read, again, I encourage you, you can look up online, again and again and again, I've spoken to so many victims, many people, they say that it was more painful for them not being believed and being yelled at. It was worse than the abuse itself. And it sounds like a guzma, but that's what they say. In other words, somebody abused them, but they came to somebody else in the community and said, you know, somebody hurt me, and they say, oh, stop it, don't make it up. And then you say, oh, look at him, you know, look who the abuser is, I don't know, you know. So I'm going to close with a discussion, a fascinating discussion that takes place in Parshas Vayishlach. I thought of this 2 years ago when I read Sword of the Pasha, and I got the chills, I got the goosebumps when I thought of it. This is the story of Dina. Dina was abused, right? Shem ben Hamar, the son of the mayor of the city, abused Dina. Shimon and Levi stuck up for her. They told everybody to get a bris milah. They killed all the people in the city. If you have this chumash that I do, it's on page 101. I'd like to point out two things that are that I found fascinating. It's pasuk lamed. So again, it's Parshas Vayishlach, perik lamed dalid, pasuk lamed, and pasuk lamed aleph. So this narrative is at the end of the story where Yaakov admonishes Shimon the Levi, why did you do this? What did you do? You went and destroyed, you killed all these people? Let me read the Lashon to you. Vayomi Yaakov al Shimon the Levi. Yaakov tells Shimon and Levi, Achartem oisi, you embarrassed me. Lahavisheni bi yoshvei haaretz, Aknani v'aprizni. Rashi says, Tzlula haisachavus. It was quiet, the barrel was settled. We, Baruch Hashem, we don't appreciate what that means. People used to draw water from the well or from the river, it was muddy. And they had to let it sit for a couple of days till the sediment settled. That's really, it's so hard. Now, when I taught this Rashi, Tzlula haisachavus, you have to explain to the kids what it means. 100 years ago, nobody had to explain it because that was their life. So the mud settles to the bottom. Rashi said, Tzlula haisachavus, the barrel was quiet. I had just dealt with love and I dealt with Esav. It's quiet. What's Mastat Tomo? So you mushed it all up. You embarrassed me in front of the people where I live right now, where we're traveling through. We're just a few of us, and they're going to destroy us. And the two of them said, is our sister Azaina? Rashi doesn't translate that word literally. It looks like Rashi's being politically correct. Rashi says Hefker. Rashi changes the word from Zaina to Hefker, which is not really the translation. So it looks like Rashi's doing, Rashi's writing an Edel Loshen for a polite Loshen so kids can learn it in yeshiva. But here's what I'd like to suggest. And I, again, we think of Yaakov Avinu, as we should, as one of our this giant, when he was traveling through Shechem, he was just a traveler with a family that had no friends and didn't know anybody in town. Who started up with Bina? People who know people. So, the son of the mayor, people who know people, it struck me. It was so powerful when I thought of it. People who know people, the mayor's son, went and abused this little girl who was from some person who was passing through with his family who didn't know anybody there. So I'll tell you what really got me. I speak to families now, but when they have a victim who needs to go forward to stop the abuser from abusing other people, and what do the victims say? Look at the pasuk. We're going to be embarrassed. If we come forward, it's going to bring a shanda on the family. And they're going to kill us. Those are the two things I hear every single time. Or most of the times, at least. When we speak to a family, and they say, yeah, but look who the abuser is. They're not going to believe me. Against him? Or against her? How could it be? We're going to be embarrassed, and they're going to kill me. So what do the brothers say? One more point. Look inside. This is the end of it. Yaakov doesn't respond. In my book, when somebody doesn't respond, it means they say that the other person is right. He didn't answer that question. The brothers didn't answer Yaakov's question. Yaakov said, you embarrassed me, you made a chilul Hashem. Isn't that another thing we hear? If you talk about it, it's a chilul Hashem. And I always say, it's not a chilul Hashem. Every community has abusers. It's a chilul Hashem when you let them abuse more kids. Every community has abusers. Nebuch. Every community in the world, every society does. It's a chilul Hashem when you say it's a pasuk that we should talk about it, so let them abuse more kids. That's the corruption, Rabbi said. When the institution becomes more important than the riva achas. So the brother said, look how perfectly it fits. So again, he had two tainus. He embarrassed me, and they're going to get us killed. So the brother said, she's not Hefker. He didn't answer his question. Fine, great, but they're still going to kill us. And they're still going to embarrass us. I would like to suggest that the brothers answered him, Yaakov, exactly to the point. Our sister is not Hefker. They didn't say the word Zayna. We are going to put our lives on the line for her. And that's why Rashi says that the Torah said, Shimon v'Levi achei dina, as a badge of pride, a badge of honor. Shimon v'Levi achei dina. They were her brothers. She had 12 brothers, but those two put their lives on the line for her. And that's why it says it like that. And they said, you know, our sister's not Hefker, not a Zayin. Our sister's not Hefker. She's not one of those people you can push around. She has two brothers who are going to die for her. And that's what they answered him. Yaakov, Father, you're telling us that it's a bezayin. It's not a bezayin to stand up for her. It's a bezayin not to stand up. You're going to tell us they're going to kill us? How much more likely are they going to kill us all if we let this go on? And that's what the Torah is telling us. And it was this, Yaakov rebuked them for their anger, but it seemed that he understood, he appreciated what they said. And that's something that I told myself. I happen to have this one famous child, if you just Google my name, if you do Google images for my name, Yaakov Horowitz, if you're bored today, try it. The pictures that come up for Google images for Yaakov Horowitz are a lot of the abusers that I stood up to. You see like five pictures of me and an abuser. I'm not joking. I got tons of death threats during this trial, and I'm being sued right now by a sex offender in Eretz Yisrael, who I warned the people in Har-Nof, an American sex offender, ran off to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm being sued. I'm in the middle of we just started pre-trial hearings now. I'm being sued for slander because I libeled him. So this is what I tell myself. What would Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu say? What would they advise me to do? I think they would say to all of us, not just me, I think they would tell us that we should stand with people who are weak, who don't have a voice. I think it's the ultimate obligation to us. And when we read these Haftarahs, and the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av, and we hear these messages, I encourage us to think about our obligation, what the Torah is telling us, to stand with the victim. That is what the message is. I took you out of Mitzrayim. You were weak there. Appreciate the fact that there are others who need you to stand with them. Thank you very much.